This is a podcast by The Straits Times.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another edition of Hashtag Game of Two Halves, a sports podcast by The Straits Times. My name is Azali Abdul Aziz, and I'm a correspondent on the ST Sports Desk. And on this episode, I have my colleague, ST Sports reporter, Laura Chia, who covered the Singapore Tennis Open, on with me. Welcome, Laura.
Hi, Saz. Glad to be here.
Laura, you sound pretty happy. Was that down to the fact that you actually got to see some, pretty high-level tennis action over the weekend?
Yes, I was actually really excited about it, like being able to go down to watch the semi-finals and the finals. And it's the first live international event that I've been to actually here. So that was a really good experience.
Yeah, what was the experience of covering the Singapore Tennis Open, like as a whole? You mentioned the semi-finals and finals. You were only allowed to, you were only able to cover the last 2 days of action, right? And that's when it was also open to spectators.
Yeah, that's right. So last Wednesday, organizers announced that 250 fans will be allowed each day. So that was when I went down as well. The tickets went on sale at about 6 o'clock on Wednesday, but by the next day at 10 a.m., they were all sold out already. And all 250 people a day came down, so that was a pretty good sign. And they made it such that each party could only buy like a maximum of 4 tickets and attend only one day so that more people will be given a chance to attend the event.
And in terms of your own experience covering the event, what was different about it, compared to maybe working, at a sports event before COVID? Did you have to come much earlier, so on? What kind of tests did you have to go through?
Yeah, it was really different from previous events like before COVID, because we all had to come a few hours earlier, like in the morning, to take the antigen rapid test. But that was okay because it was a really smooth process. And from the registration to taking a test to getting your results, I think everything took less than 30 minutes. So even after that, you could still walk around, have lunch before the matches started. And when I was in the arena itself, it was pretty different as well, because first, there was no mixed zone, so the post-match press conferences were still conducted virtually because we weren't allowed direct contact with the players. And it was just good to be back in an arena with like a live audience and international event, because I think recently local leagues have resumed, but they have been mainly closed doors. So this was like a really good experience, and it was just nice to be back again, feeling like I was part of an audience, it wasn't just me who was there.
I get what you mean. And I think you mentioned the antigen rapid test. I think these ARTs, could really be a game changer. They've been, I think, in place for spectators who want to watch mixed martial arts since, I think, November last year. And, last Friday, I also, had to go and undergo the ART myself when I covered ONE Championship's Fists of Fury event. And yeah, like you said, it's a very smooth, efficient process. You get your swap done. I had a coffee after that, and 20 minutes later, I get my notification that, I was clear to enter the arena. So, that could and there've been quite a number of events so far already. MMA, like you mentioned recently, tennis, SPL as well has done ART, and so far, there hasn't been any problems, and it could really be the way forward. In terms of the atmosphere, what was it like in the arena, and do you think that what you encountered will be almost like the new norm for live sports?
The atmosphere was pretty muted. I think first it was because there were only 250 people in a 3,000 seater OCBC arena. And each group was spaced out quite a bit. So, because as I mentioned earlier, there's a maximum of 4 people in a party, and each party had to sit at least 1 meter apart, and alternate rows were used as well. And I think by the nature of the sport, tennis is a relatively quieter sport than others. If you compare it to maybe a Singapore Slingers basketball match where there are over 2,000 people and screaming during the game, of course, it was a bit different. And also the audience were kind of told not to shout. because of COVID restrictions and stuff. So all they could do was clap. And that's what contributed to the atmosphere being a little bit muted as well. But it was still good to see them like clapping. And I think some people, they couldn't resist shouting sometimes. So during the semifinals between Marin Cilic and Alexei Popirin, some people were shouting, "Go Poppy!" And Alexei actually mentioned it in his press conference later that those shouts of "Go Poppy!" actually sort of spurred him on as well after his win.
Now, if you like what you're hearing so far, subscribe to hashtag Game of Two Halves on Apple Podcasts, Spotify or Google Podcasts. Like us and give us a rating.
On to the second half of our show, where ST's Laura Chia will share with us more about the Singapore Tennis Open. So, Laura, you mentioned Popirin, you know, and a few fans in the stands, you know, cheering him on. Was he the number one fan favorite? Who were the fans generally rooting for?
During the semifinals, I think most of them were actually rooting for Cilic because he's, after all, sort of the biggest name who came. But I think they were also, half of them were also rooting for the underdog, which was Alexei. And after he won, he still got quite a big applause from everyone for the performance that he put up. During the finals, it was sort of split down the middle because most people came more to watch a good game of tennis because I don't think a lot of people knew exactly who Alexander Bublik and Alexei Popirin were. So they could just base their thoughts on how these two players have been performing over the week. And both had been doing quite well. They were serving well. They could return well. So I would say it was pretty much split down the middle, but maybe Alexei had a little bit more of an edge because there were a few Australians in the stands shouting "Go Poppy!" as well during the semi-final.
Yeah, no, I've had friends who attended the tennis final and they were saying that, you know, Popirin really caught their eye and that he's really got a good potential. What do you think? How good do you think Alexei Popirin is and how far can he go, you think?
Yeah, I think he has a lot of potential to go on to do even greater things. And I believe today he reached a career high of 82. And last year, he admitted that he didn't have a really good year and he was not afraid to say it. So he said that in pre-season, he has also been working on a lot of other things. And besides that was his mental strength as well. And he said during the tournament, it really came through and you could see sort of how mature he was because when he was playing against Cilic, he was actually 4-1 down in the first set. But after that, he managed to pull himself together, told himself to remain level-headed, and he managed to bring it up to a tiebreaker in the first set. In the second set, it was a pretty close game as well. And to do that against Cilic, who is, of course, the 2014 US Open champion. Yeah, and Alexei is only 21, but I think he has displayed a very mature performance over the past week against Cilic and in the final against Alexander Bublik as well. After he went down a set, he didn't let that get to him. He pulled himself together and regrouped for the second and third set. And in the end, he dropped only two games and eventually won the title as well. And it was his first title. So I would say that it's pretty much safe to say that he will be moving on to greater things and will possibly get even more titles.
So were there any Singaporean players in action and how did they fare?
Yeah, two Singaporean players, Shahid Alam and Roy Hobbs, got a wild card each to compete in the qualifying for the singles. And both of them also got a wild card to compete as a doubles pair in the main draw. Both did okay considering that the other players were ranked much higher than them and have had more experience in playing international tournaments. For Shahid, it was his first ATP tournament, and even though he lost both games, he said that there were a lot of positives to take away from this, such as the experience he felt and the fact that this actually motivated him to want to play in more ATP events. So that was one of the positives that he took away from it.
Could we see another, you know, high level ATP event like this in Singapore sometime in the near future?
Maybe. I think Singapore has done a pretty good job of pulling this off. And this was all to sort of build a relationship with the ATP so that more events could be held here. But one of the ATP, the vice presidents mentioned that they were not necessarily looking to increase the number of permanent licenses in this area. So it would depend on whether a current host city decides to stop holding the tournament, or if the contract of a current tournament ends, then maybe they would look into Singapore. But I think that having hosted this during the pandemic to give the players more chances of playing would definitely put Singapore on ATP's radar to host a tournament in the future.
So there are a host of factors, but you know, there is a chance, and let's hope things work out for the ATP in Singapore in the future. Thank you, Laura.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Sas.
And there goes the final whistle for our sports discussion of the week. Don't forget, you can listen to our hashtag Game of Two Halves podcast on demand on audio apps, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts.
That was an SPH podcast by The Straits Times. Find us on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts, or streaming on Google Home. Do feedback to us at podcast@sbh.com.sg. You can also check out more podcasts on various topics at The Straits Times, The Business Times, and Money FM 89.3.